This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, good morning. 104. No, it's afternoon. I think twice now I've said good morning.
It's morning somewhere.
Yeah, well, yeah, what an idiot.
It's also 5 o'clock somewhere.
Hawaii.
Yeah.
Good morning.
John Hines in for Chad Hartman, and Chad will be back tomorrow, which is good for good news all the way around. So I saw this story, and I wanted to ask about this. American cheese, a staple in U.S. kitchens for decades. You know those Kraft singles, and if you're a high roller, you get the individually wrapped ones because it's easier to deal with those when you have a deck of those. But apparently, their fortunes may be heading south. Millennials. They're not interested in buying or eating the processed cheese. Instead, they're going to instead they're going to places like all the artisan cheese makers.
Yeah.
Artisan cheese.
Artesian.
Is that what it is?
I don't know.
Yeah, whatever. But prices for American cheese are going down too, which might be a good thing. A solid 40% of U.S. households still buy Kraft singles, but sales are flat. They're not moving. So
a sleeve of Ritz crackers and a couple of Kraft slices, singles, cheese. That's living there, boy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Now, when you go into the grocery store, yeah, and you go by the dairy division, the dairy department, mm-hmm, and a lot of times they'll have cheese chopped up.
Yep.
You go and sample those?
Oh, yeah. It's hard to resist cheese.
Oh, yeah. And I didn't used to eat cheese until about 6 years ago.
I'm sorry, what? How old are you?
Really?
John?
I'm sorry, seriously.
I was that way when I was a kid.
I never had a grilled cheese until I had one on the air in here one day.
Are you kidding me?
No. And growing up in a Catholic household with meatless Fridays. No, I don't. I'll have nothing, Mom. Thanks. So I wouldn't eat a grilled cheese sandwich.
Did you always do meatless Fridays or just during Lent?
Oh, no, back at that time, it was every Friday. Was
really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes. And so those people who died and went to hell after eating meat on a Friday, they all got grandfathered in later. You get.
Hey, we made a mistake. Come on.
Oh, gosh.
Everybody, come on, follow me. But yeah, but no, but this was the deal. Meatless Fridays, yes. And we would have salmon, but not salmon fillets. It was open a can of salmon, make salmon patties out of it. I could go into those stories about meatless Fridays and such.
Well, see, I must be just an odd millennial, and I guess now I'm at the older end of millennials as it's shifting younger, but I love American cheese. A good old slice of Kraft American cheese.
Well, isn't that part of a grilled cheese sandwich?
Yes.
Isn't that, basic to a grilled cheese sandwich?
Yes, absolutely. I like it on my burgers. Oh, nothing better than, white bread, lots of mayo, Kraft cheese, and ham and turkey.
Ham and turkey?
Yeah.
Yeah, we
have. Maybe a little bacon.
Sure.
Just lots of mayo and cheese, though, for
just
sure.
Just serve mine in the ambulance. Thank you. I'll be fine. So, hey, Adam Carter's got news here, and then we'll catch up on those foods. And this is why I'll tell you why I brought up the grilled cheese story. 14 minutes after 1 o'clock. Making our way up to 38 degrees, John Hines here, News Talk 830 WCCO, in for Chad Hartman today. Chad will be back tomorrow. So here's why I brought up the whole cheese story. Because a grilled cheese is a great, chilly weather thing. I think a lot of people, even though it wasn't my thing, I think a lot of people associate with this, a grilled cheese sandwich and a cup of hot tomato soup. The good kind of soup like Campbell's makes. So here's the story, though. I was wondering about this because before I got out of bed this morning, I could see at the bottom of my window some frost there, which means a couple of things. It's very cold, and I probably need, better thermal panes in my window, but that's not important. The important thing was it was very cold. And so I started thinking about this, and Lindsay and I were talking about this off the radio, about what's your favorite cold weather thing, not a food necessarily. Don't limit it to food. And by the way, speaking of food, Dara's going to join us here after 2:30. So I'm looking forward to that. But not just a food thing, but what's your favorite chilly weather thing? I really wanted to get up and build a nice warm fire. But not having a fireplace, I just thought the neighbors in the building would just be, they would be appalled. So it would just be wrong on lots of different levels. But that's what I would do if you know, or in the house where I used to live, I would flip on the switch and then I would have a fire in the fireplace like that. But what's your favorite, you know, your favorite cold weather solution, the thing that you do, the thing that you bundle with? We were talking about this, too, because when I used to have a lake home, I had a couple of big dogs. And if I'd be up there in the wintertime, because it was a year-round place, especially if I was alone, I'd just be drop my hand on the bed like this, and both dogs would jump up onto the bed, a couple of 85-pound golden retrievers, like, oh, okay, we're gonna snuggle in the bed. Oh. And it was really wonderful. So you can send a text on this at 81807. But again, because I lost some context from the earlier texters, call 651-989-9226. When it turns chilly, what's your thing to do? You break out your cold weather gear and start to switch over your closets? Do you switch over closets? Are you one of those people who has to change over your closets, Lindsay, from spring, summer to fall, winter?
I probably should, but I don't. I don't. It's all just in one closet.
Yeah.
It's a little messy.
Yeah.
Full disclosure.
Yeah. But do you have it separated in the closet?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Now, how about your coats, your jackets, and things like that?
Those are in the front hall closet.
I'm not going to need these lightweight jackets any longer.
Yes.
So 651-989-9226. Or if you can't call in, you can send a text. Here's what it says, taking a walk outside and smelling everyone's wood fireplaces. I guess that's a substitute. We no longer have the option of burning leaves in this city, but there's a lot of great cold weather type things that you can do. Let me start with Pete. Pete calling in here this afternoon at 651-989-9226. So Pete, did you feel that chill of the air this morning?
Yes, I did, John. Say, John.
Yes, sir.
Real quickly, Soups On is a cookbook that was published 30 years ago. It was dedicated to Chuck Knapp and Michael Douglas.
Sure.
You worked with one of those guys.
But both of them were very good friends. Sorry that Mike has passed, but yeah, very good friends. So anyway, what is
John,
that?
John, I know you're a bit of a wizard in the kitchen. Can I drop this book off at your breakfast club, or should I send it over to the station for you?
Send it over to the station.
That'd be,
but you don't want it?
John, I've got 40, 50 church, wire-bound cookbooks.
Yeah.
I just love, in the winter, going through them and then whipping up something.
Mostly hot dishes.
Yep. Anyway, I knew this would mean more to you than me, and I've been meaning to run it down to Marshall Street, and I never did. So what I will do is drop an envelope and drop it off at the station for you.
That's great, because if you drop it at the Breakfast Club, that's a lot for them to kind of manage down there. So,
John, one more thing.
Yeah.
We all miss you terribly.
Well, that's nice to hear. Thank you for that, Pete.
And good wishes to in the future.
Bye. Have a great day. Take care. That's very nice of him to say that. So, Soups On. And I know a lot of people don't dine this way, particularly like my girlfriend doesn't, but I'm a hot dish maker. So, and I've talked about this before. I've got, that large Dutch oven Corningware right from the freezer to the oven. And I would make a tater tot hot dish that fill that whole thing up, starting with about 2.5 pounds of ground beef. And it's just for me. But I'll eat it because I really like it. I'll eat it every day for 6 days. Can you eat leftovers?
Yes, I can. Another person in my household can't. And that's a point of contention in our relationship. Because I can make the same thing and just be fine eating it every single day. And he gets bored very easily.
Oh.
Which I get. A lot of people are like
right,
that.
Right,
but
I'm
similar to you. Like, I love to cook. It doesn't matter the time of year. I specifically like to settle in and make recipes, especially when it starts to get colder. And then I stock the freezer. So this weekend I did two different soups. I did a spicy Mexican pulled pork chili so good. But it's got some spice to it. I'm not sure if you do. You do spice?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah, yeah.
Good.
But let me ask this then: can we put some tortilla chips over the top?
Absolutely.
Of? Okay, good.
It'd be really good with some tortilla chips and then like a nice big dollop of guacamole.
Okay.
And I don't know if you're a guac person.
Yeah, I'm guac, but guac is for dipping chips. It's not for putting on food.
Oh, no. Guac runs the gamut. Okay. And then the other one I did was a curried pumpkin chicken stew.
I would like that.
Yeah, and so froze a bunch of it so I can just take out the containers, head to work. But, yeah, we posted it on Facebook, on WCCR Radio's Facebook page, you know, what's your favorite cold weather activity? And I agree. Debbie Wickland chimed in. She said, stamping and making handmade cards, crafts of all kinds. And I'm kind of the same way. So I was telling you before the show, my John is taking out docks right now.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Poor guy's working outside 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. It's wet. It's cold. It's rainy. It's gross. But he works weekends. So I have Saturday to myself, and I'm planning all the crafts I'm going to be doing.
Ah, all right.
I hope he's not listening.
Well, as long as you have it put away by the time he gets home. I, was it last week? I made, Byerly's has a great white bean chili chicken recipe. And I made too much of that. But, and girlfriend, again, not eating beans either. So it's all no, you know, grains, beans, that sort of a thing. And so I've been eating that. But now I took the rest of it and put it in a Ziploc and froze it. And I'll take it out, and if it stays like this, and it's expected to for a couple of days, I'll thaw that and do that again. So we're not talking about just food here, though. We're talking about beyond that, your favorite cold weather activity. So
I'm kind of a baby when it comes to, like, being outside. I do like once it snows and you can walk. You know, when that first snowfall or when it snows again and all the trees have just that couple of inches. You know, the snow hasn't blown off the trees yet.
Oh, yeah.
You go for a walk and the sun's shining. And it's,
yeah.
It's those moments where you just love snow.
Or one of those sunny mornings when the trees are covered with, like, that hoarfrost, you know, that is just there until it, you know, melts off. Here's a text that says, turning on my heated mattress pad 1 hour before I crawl into bed. Just to warm it up a little bit here. Love a good snowstorm on a Friday night. I take my two golden retrievers for a walk in the snow, come home, make a fire, have a big glass of wine. It's fun, too, to take the dogs out, especially if they're dogs with hair in the snow, and watch their paw pads get spread out. My dogs would run ahead, then lay down, chew the snow out of there, run ahead, jam them up again. So 651-989-9226 or more of your texts at 81807. Here's one, too. This is a great activity when it's cold. I mean this. Hot tub, especially when it's snowing. You get in there and you can make your frozen hair just stand straight up in the air like, what's his name, the skier Pike? Was that the crazy downhill skier? There's a tangent. It's like little bits of things that crawl in my head here. John is on the line in New Germany. John, good morning. Good afternoon. Yeah. Sorry. What's yours? Cold weather activity.
Just sitting in my cozy, quiet little spear house waiting for Mr. Pikey to come in.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you what, probably ice a little thin right about now, though, huh?
Yeah, that's cold weather.
Yeah,
activity.
Send somebody else out there ahead of you just to check it. Yeah, for people, you remember Tom Ryder, the TV sports guy?
Yeah, I do. Yeah,
yeah. For many years, a fixture in the Twin Cities area. He once referred to ice fishing though as like drinking in your garage. It's basically drinking in your garage. So hey, John,
well, one nice thing,
which I like to do too.
Peace and quiet. Nobody bothering you, no outside distractions.
Yep. I get it. It's solitary.
Yeah.
Have a great day, John.
You too. Thank you.
Thanks for ringing. We got to get a break in now. Is it break?
Yeah, we can take a break and we'll get some more phone calls.
Okay, yeah, more phone calls. Cold weather activity. Don't limit it to foods and such. And we're going to talk food coming up with Dara when she comes in here after 2:30 on WCCO. It's 24 minutes now. News Talk 830 WCCO. Lots of comments here regarding saunas or sauna, firing up the sauna and on a nice cold winter day, especially if you've got one outdoors. It's a story in last Sunday's paper, I think it was, of the couple who said that their sauna kept their marriage together. Going out there, you know, and you know, in the backyard. They had a high privacy fence around it, but they'd go out there, you know, buck naked and get in the sauna, and then they had a cold shower outside of it. So you just whoosh, because they didn't have a lake to jump into. But hey, a couple of phone calls here on cold weather activities. What do you do when you start to feel it coming on? Hang on. I'll pick up here with Tom's in St. Paul. Tom, good afternoon. I got that one right. What's
good
going on?
John. Nice to hear you on the radio again.
Thank you.
So my cold activity is one probably no one you won't hear a lot of. Ice fishing was one, but I work a normal 8-to-5 job, and after that in the wintertime, I go plow snow with a big, giant front end loader, and I plow a lot of the North Metro large parking lots.
Oh.
And I'm in my loader. I could work for 3 days straight. You know, you're 2 or 3 in the morning, no one's there, you're just plowing, making big piles, and and by the time you're done, it never looks like it snowed at all, and you got piles the size of, you know, lake homes and all that.
Yeah, so those are the same piles that we see somewhere late June, early July.
Yep. Nothing gets better than that.
Just you know,
music and playing in the snow.
People who know what they're doing, plowing-wise, my younger brother, a lot of plowing, a couple of commercial accounts. But if you know what you're doing, there's an art to that, right?
Oh, yeah. You got a machine pushing a 30-foot-wide pusher sometimes. You got to navigate cars and other poles and shopping cart corrals and all that and trying not to hit anyone. Or then you got the random jogger at 4 in the morning that wants to cut through the parking lot. And
Wait. Now, here, fill me in. You say in North Minneapolis, Northeast Minneapolis, where are you plowing?
North Metro.
So what's the biggest grocery lot that you're plowing up there? So we know who is doing it at 3 or 4 in the morning.
A lot of the Targets, and then in North Metro, then the Maple Grove area, some of the malls up there I take care of.
We'll look for you, Tom. Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Stay safe out there. John's on the line. John, good morning. Good afternoon. Gee whiz.
Yeah, good afternoon, John. It's such a pleasure to hear you back on the radio.
Thanks for saying that. That's very nice. So what's the story?
So I just love going outdoors in the fall and the winter with my hunting dog and just walking the fields and enjoying the brisk day with my dog, who just loves being outside.
Oh, yeah, that's good, yeah. The dog gets kind of wound up for that, right?
They do. They just love it. They enjoy the cold, and they get exercise. I get some exercise, and everybody goes home fine.
What kind of a dog? Can I ask that question?
Yeah, I have two German short hair pointers. They're for hunting.
Oh, yeah, I
love
bet they
German
are.
German short hairs.
So are they bird hunters, upland game, right?
Yes, pheasant.
Are they good at it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's fun to watch a dog like that work because that's when they're in their elements. So, John, thanks for ringing in.
Yeah, you bet.
I appreciate it very much. Yeah, that's a great story.
Another one from Facebook. MA says she loves jigsaw puzzles with her kiddos if they're home. Are you a puzzle person?
I get frustrated.
I'm not surprised by that at all.
No, I'll pull a piece out and put it in my pocket and walk away. I'll let somebody come back in and put that last piece in there.
Oh, you're snarty.
No, I'm teasing. I wouldn't do that.
One of my favorite cold weather things besides cooking, because there is just something I think about when it gets cold, you want comfort food.
Right.
I know. Like every night I'm like, oh, I need something besides a salad. I need something of substance. My favorite thing to do, cold night, we're both at home, John and I, fire in the fireplace, maybe sports on TV, whether, you know, it's a hockey game or if we've got football going on, and then we play some intense games of cribbage.
Oh!
Love cribbage. And I love playing cribbage against John because he's very competitive. So every time I beat him, which is not very often, I get to, you know, just needle him a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you should be keeping a lifelong, you know, running log of who's...
We'll start one.
Yeah, start one.
We'll start one.
Deanna and I do the same thing with gin. We play gin. I think we played cribbage together as well. But, we played gin.
Have you ever played euchre?
No, I don't know.
Euchre was big growing up in New Prague.
Okay.
People still play there all the time. And I'd have to have someone walk me through it one more time, but I remember really liking it.
Yeah.
You can either play – most of the time you play with a partner, so it's a four-person game.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there are ways to play with three. But there's, you know, the jacks or the – yeah, the
right bower, the left bower.
Yes, thank you. Yes.
Yeah, it sounds a little bit like 500. We used to play 500.
I love playing cards, but I have a hard time remembering the rules. Like, I'll play and I'll be really, really good, And then a month will go by and I can't remember what I was doing.
One quick story here about playing cards. When I was much younger, I've always loved to play gin, and my father was an avid gin player. But I went up to see my grandfather, who was in the hospital, and I brought a deck of cards. He was an avid gin player. So I brought up a deck of cards, and we sat down to play cards. And I thought I could – now is a chance for me to beat somebody, this old man here. Not when it comes to that game. Same with my Uncle Ken, the late Uncle Ken, who we were playing gin. And as he would look at me and go, "I'm sorry, what goes into Tom Collins?" "Oh, gin." And he would lay the cards down, and then he would tell – I'd start to lay my hand down. I said, "Don't tell me. I'll tell you." And he would tell me every card that I had in my hand just from what he had been watching, picking up, putting down. And he could read the discard pile back from the bottom up. So could my father. You know, he could tell you every card that had been thrown.
Isn't that a form of card counting?
I don't think it matters in a gin game. It is 1:34. Is this where we get to traffic here with JP? First a break, then traffic. Hold the phone. Hey, good afternoon once again here. 1:40. I mentioned 38 degrees and overcast. Today is International Day of the Girl Child, celebrating young girls everywhere because it's important to recognize them. It's also National Coming Out Day. So just thought I would pass that along, and you know, this might be the day you make that decision. And one other thing, and there's a strong local connection here, it's General Pulaski Memorial Day. General Pulaski is the namesake of Lake Pulaski in Wright County, Minnesota. A Polish hero of the American Revolution died from wounds suffering there, that he suffered there. This is an interesting story that just caught my eye, and you just have to imagine, you know, how much room this might take up. But a man has been arrested now for stealing $630,000 worth of postage stamps. Postage stamps. He had a gambling problem. Now, I don't know what he was doing with the stamps, if he could turn them around that fast. He was obviously not a very good gambler. And sadly, was probably addicted to gambling. But they said he had a very active presence at casinos. They know that he lost $220,000 worth last year alone. Guy earns about 70 grand a year. They're calling it one of the largest internal postal thefts by a Postal Service employee in the history of the U.S. Postal Service. They're saying $630,000 worth of stamps from the one post office where he worked. I don't know what you would do, and where would you, you know, is there a big market for those? You wouldn't think that they would use that many stamps in quite a long time. But it just caught my eye. You know, if you're going to embezzle something, I guess. He's also been busted for embezzling thousands of dollars from the local church where he served as the treasurer. So something you might, you know, just kind of know who's there. A couple of other stories to catch up with here. Is this an important correction? No, not something that I must. Well, here, let me talk to Tom anyway. Tom, good afternoon. I just practiced saying that. Good afternoon. What's going on?
I want to remind you of a softball game I did of yours many, many years ago. I'm a softball umpire that's umpired over 12,000 games, mostly in Minneapolis. And I had a softball team called H times 8.
Yes.
You remember that?
Well, I do. That was one of the H's.
Yes, I know. It was all your sons and your brothers and your cousins and
yes.
whatnot.
Yes, all Heinz's.
Yeah, it was one of the strangest, I had one of the strangest calls I ever had in that game. It was like quarterfinals of city championships. You're a very good team.
Wow.
And you were the pitcher, and you threw aces all night long.
Me?
You.
Okay, go ahead.
And the call that was so strange, I think it's the only time I've ever had the call, and a couple of your people got mad, and a couple other people on the team that knew the game real well said, no, that was the right call. But there was a runner on first base for sure, I don't know however many other runners, and there was a ball hit to the shortstop. He threw to the second baseman to get the force out there, and the runner coming from first, instead of sliding or getting out of the way, put his hand straight up in the air, which becomes an obstruction call. So the second baseman could not throw the ball to first to get the out.
Right.
And then I called the second out on a double play, and like I say, immediately some of the players started to jump all over me, and a couple others said, no, that was the right call. They can't do that. Do you recall that at all?
No, I'm sorry, Tom. I don't recall that particular one. I actually don't recall the team ever being that good. We played for 25 years together.
Well, and you had a very good team. A couple of your sons were real good players.
Well, there you go.
I did them in other leagues.
And my nephews, yes. Yeah,
and
that is
one of the nephews was a Bergstrom, and I was his teacher at Phillips Junior High.
Oh, well, hey, Tom, an interesting story, only but for you and me, but I appreciate your calling in. Thank you.
Well, I've been wanting to call you for a long time, and I never do it, and then you're off the air, and I thought I'm going to take advantage right now.
You had 45 years, and today was the day.
But,
I appreciate it, Tom. That's cool that you remember that. Thank you so much.
You were a wonderful pitcher that night.
Well, that is a surprise, too. I was one of the few people who ever played slow-pitch softball to ever be pulled from the same game twice. We had a team, we were playing out just west of the metro, I can't remember what the town was, but we were playing against a bunch of wounded warriors. A lot of players with parts missing, a lot of guys with, you know, with one glove, and they would drop that glove and throw, then so they could throw the ball. They had one hand, one arm, guys with, prosthesis, and I was so bad that they pulled me from the game. I wanted, like, how long are you going to leave me out here? And so then they wanted to put me back in again later in the game, and I still couldn't find the plate. They pulled me twice from the same game. That's got to be almost momentous in any sport.
But Tom said you were a great pitcher.
That night.
I always wanted to be a good softball pitcher. Just was not a good softball pitcher.
It's a dangerous place to be. At least it was then, because nobody had, you know, face masks or anything like that. Today, you see smartly so many, especially young women, wearing mouth guards. I had a comebacker once that would have smashed my face if I hadn't mistakenly got the glove up. I mean, just by luck. It's like, oh, gee. And I was surprised. That's how I fractured the tip of my finger. It came so hard. But that's another story. It's like, okay, Tom and I find that interesting. Lindsay's going, I'm pretty sure we have to move on. Yes. So it's 1:47. That's your Linda's Construction time check. Time to install the last roof your home will ever need with GAF asphalt shingles. Oh, I know what I wanted to mention. John Hines in for Chad Hartman this afternoon. It is 1:48. I told Lindsay about this before we were on the radio. This past weekend, went to see Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga in A Star Is Born. And what a roller coaster of a movie. You're up, you're down, you're up, you're totally depressed. It's like, as my neighbor said, one tragedy after another. It just, here's music, though. This is Bradley Cooper doing one of the outdoor concerts, and he did a lot of this performing on stage. This is him singing and playing guitar, and at one point, he's just shredding the guitar, as the young people say. And Lady Gaga, I got it. Lady Gaga, his muse, and just that he heard sing somewhere, just was, he this was her song. And he wanted her to come out from the side of the stage to join him on stage in front of what looked like a WeFest crowd of 50,000 people. So he starts into this song, and it's just, and you're, and then it becomes goosebump material.
Tell me something, girl. Are you happy in this modern world? Or do you need more? Is there something else you're searching for? I'll fall in all the good times. I find myself longing for change, and in the bad times I fear myself.
Great song. It was just a great movie. If you know the story of A Star Is Born, a lot of interesting coincidences. A lot of interesting coincidence. The movie was, you know, directed, and Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga did a lot of the music, but Bradley Cooper directed the movie. And it's a great movie. Dice Clay, Andrew Dice Clay, plays a great part in the movie. And the people I was with looking at him until the end of the credits, they went, "That's Andrew Dice Clay." It's like, yeah, it was. As soon as I knew him, as soon as I saw him. But it was I'll tell you a little bit about the story here. But first, keyword for cash fires up here. I got to get it right this time. You only get three shots, Hines. Get it right. Time for this hour's national contest. The keyword for cash is fancy. Fancy that. One more time, fancy, F-A-N-C-Y. Double checking, everybody, Thursday, 150. Okay, good. Text that word to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. 72881 is the number to text. The keyword, fancy. And if you don't win this time, listen for your next chance to win coming up at 2:50, an hour from now. Messaging and data rates may apply. Remember, please don't text and drive. So I think this is at least the third time this movie has been made, A Star Is Born. I think it was Judy Garland. I might be wrong on that, but Barbara Streisand and Kris Kristofferson did this story. And he's the star who was just on the decline, as is Bradley Cooper in this story. And then he meets this gal, helps propel her career. She skyrockets. Well, he continues to decline. And it was just, it's.
Don't go any farther.
No,
I don't know anything about the story. And it's been a really long time since I've been very excited to see a movie.
Yes. This music, you will tell me afterwards. Oh my God.
Well, and I love music. I love when music is a part of the film.
No, it is an integral part of the film.
Good.
So, but here's another little side note. It was produced by John Peters, J-O-N Peters, who produced, when he was married to Barbara Streisand, produced the Barbara Streisand, Kris Kristofferson version. So it's kind of like, oh, look at all these things coming around again. Well, those two things. But yeah, it really is. You will love this. And bring tissue.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because I looked over, you know, and I welled up a little bit. But I looked over at my girlfriend and our other friend who was with us, and yes, bring tissues. So, yeah, not a bad idea. But, yeah, the music will thrill you. And that particular scene, I think, is like goosebump stuff. Because it's sort of, it's like the chrysalis, you know, just coming out of her cocoon and her shell. Okay, that's enough. All right. All right, stop, Hines. Stop. Here it says 1937, 1954, 1976, and now. So Kris Kristofferson, Barbara Streisand must have been 1976. But this is a great telling of the story. So here's a text that says, saw it last night. It was awesome and depressing, but a great movie. John, don't tell me you cried. Well, that's a little strong. That's a little strong, but yeah. I mean, how about a movie that is a story of tragedy like that? What comes to mind? Other than, for me, there's a very vintage story with Jack Lemmon and Lee Remick called Days of Wine and Roses, where he was a drinking guy, you know, like a Madison Avenue type guy. I don't know what his profession was. He meets mousy little Lee Remick, who has never had alcohol, introduces her to a Brandy Alexander or something of that nature, and she just really gets into it. And later, she becomes a soak while he takes the cure. And then there's a flip in that story where I believe she takes the cure and he goes back, you know, to his addiction and has to deal with it all over again.
So I have three that come to mind.
Okay.
The first one is Beaches.
Oh,
Bette
yeah.
Bette Midler.
And Barbara Hershey?
Yep. And it doesn't matter when I watch it. It is just tears. The other one, and this is, I think, a little less known. It's Kevin Kline in Life as a House in 2001.
I don't know that one.
It's a story about a father and a son and a very complicated relationship and just kind of how this whole family deals with the dynamics of a teenage boy, a dad, a divorce, that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's building this house and trying to get his son involved in it. And it's just, oh, it's a tearjerker. And then the last one that I saw in a movie theater where I like was uncontrollably sobbing.
Oh, my.
The Light Between Oceans from 2016.
It's
a story about this man, and he is in charge of the lighthouse on this remote island, and he meets this woman, and they fall in love, and they're trying to have a child, and then a child shows up in a boat, and kind of everything that develops after that. And I just ugly cried through the whole thing. Just heaved. Just a disaster.
Yeah.
Because once it might be different for men, but for women, it's like your forehead starts to crinkle a little bit, and then you're like holding it in place, and you're like, don't cry, don't do it. Don't do it. And then your face just collapses and you're done.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I get it. So the one I had missed, by the way, on A Star is Born was 1937. I mentioned that earlier when I had all the dates in there, but 37, 54, 76, and now. But that was Janet Gaynor and Frederick March. And then the Judy Garland version, then the Barbra Streisand, and now this one, Lady Gaga. And that woman.
Do you think they'll just clean house? Come Oscar time?
I bet, yeah. I bet, you know, there's room in there for best song, best composition or whatever. I know there's different categories for that. Maybe even soundtrack. Oh, because some of the other stories in there. And Bradley Cooper can sing. And as
He's
I said.
He's so hard to look at. It's just really disappointing. Really unfortunate life he's living there.
Oh, and you know, there's something. We'll talk about this afterwards because I don't want to give you anything.
Okay.
But oh, yeah, it's.
We'll plan a decompress after I see
the
movie.
There we go. Okay, good. Very good. Very good. Good plan. Hey, coming up in the next hour, looking forward to a conversation with Dara. We're going to talk about a couple of food things, including the newest pizza offering at Keg and Case in St. Paul in the old Schmidt Brewery building. So it's nice to have like a normal restaurant in there besides some of the upscale places that they have. So check it out.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.